Hello, this is Tamara, reading the Decatur Herald and Review. It's Wednesday, January 28th. Let's begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Education, Decatur, African Tales Inspire Kids. We have a photo of Parsons Elementary School fourth grader Lillian Nasir volunteering on stage as Timian Townsend and Sean Sturtevant act out a scene in the spirit world for African folk tales, with the Decatur Area Arts Council's performing arts series for students at Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur on Tuesday, January 27th. From Donette Beckett in Decatur. 1,400 students see traditional folk tales come to life. Parsons Elementary School fourth grader Lillian Nasir has been learning about folktales and similar literary genres. It's fiction, she said after her teacher tested her. Lillian's teacher, Cara Burkhart, brought her class to see their lessons come to life during Tuesday at the Decatur Arts Council's Performing Arts Series for Students, or PASS, performance of African folktales on at Kirkland Fine Arts Center. Folk tales, fables, legends, Burkhart listed, we thought we'd come on over for a field trip. Nearly 1,400 students from local elementary schools were invited for the live, curriculum-connected arts performance of traditional African folk tales. Burkhart learned about the opportunity through grants available from the DAAC. She had been researching the theatrical events appropriate for her class. A lot of students do not get to come to a play or musical, she said. I want them to have the experience and learn how to behave in what you do. The play not only brings life to the lessons teachers provide, but it gives the students exposure to the arts, the teachers pointed out. It may give them an interest they didn't even know was out there, Burkhart said. It may form another path for them. Kirkland was one of several stops for the African folk tales. The stories can be incorporated into the students' world, the actors said. This show helps regulate emotions and gets them in touch with how they should handle the world outside of these stories, actor Timia Townsend said. It's just really important to give them a gentle way into what the real world can be like. As well as being educational theater, the actors use the stories to introduce theater into the lives of young children. Doing this for little kids is something we enjoy doing every single day, said actor Sean Sturtevant. The actors who portray African folk tales were invited to Decatur through the DAAC. One of our missions is to create connections through the arts, said Jamie Foley, DAAC Executive Director. Along with other visual artistic experiences, the local Arts Council provides theater experiences to students. It's that early exposure to allow them to step outside the classroom and learn in a different, more creative environment, she said. The grants are funded through community programs, according to Foley. That's very important to us, she said, about the local connection. The kids look forward to the show as well. It really makes an impression on them to see a live theater performance, Foley said. The DAAC has worked with the schools and teachers for future arts programs. Art projects designed to reinforce the curriculum will be on display at the Eisenhower High School Black History Art Show in February. You can contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983 or follow her on Twitter at Donette B, capital H, R. Now from Scott Perry, Indicator. Richland Community College. College gets pre-apprentice program money. Richland Community College is the recipient of $495,000 in state funding for its Illinois Works pre-apprenticeship program. It was one of 39 programs across the state, sharing in more than $17 million in Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity funding. Participants of Illinois Works pre-apprenticeship programs attend tuition-free and receive a stipend and other support services to help enter the construction industry. Upon completion of the program, pre-apprentices receive industry-aligned certifications which prepare and qualify them to continue to a registered apprenticeship program in one of the trades. The Richland program provides training for carpenters, electricians, sheet metal workers, plumbers, and steam fitters, laborers, bricklayers, glaziers, roofers, and operators. For more about the Richland program, go to richland.edu/pre-apprenticeship. You can contact Scott Perry at 217-421-7976. Now, again from our front page, Illinois elections. Democratic Senate primary heats up over ice. From Springfield, Brendan Moore, Capital News, Illinois. Illinois' once sleepy Democratic primary for retiring Senate Dick Durbin's seat heated up Monday night, as the three leading contenders used their first live debate to cast themselves as the strongest bulwark against President Donald Trump and his administration's aggressive immigration enforcement tactics. The hour-long debate, hosted by the Chicago Sun-Times, WBEZ, and the University of Chicago, came in wake of two deadly shootings involving federal immigration agents in Minneapolis this month that have sparked national outcry and echoed the enforcement campaign that targeted and disrupted the Chicago region last fall. The three candidates, Representative Robin Kelly of Linwood, Representative Raja Krishnamurthy of Schaumburg, and Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, all to varying degrees called for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement to be dismantled, but differed on the extent. "I want to abolish ICE because this agency cannot be reformed," Stratton said, adding that it doesn't matter whose ICE it is. Stratton sought to create a wedge against her opponents, going even further than Governor J.B. Pritzker, who came out in favor of abolishing Trump's ICE. The agency has ratcheted up in aggressiveness since it received a massive funding boost under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act Trump signed last year. Pritzker has endorsed his number two's campaign. Some Democrats view the phrasing as an attempt to qualify a slogan that in its absolute form could politically backfire, much as Defund the Police did for the party in 2020. Krishnamurthy said he supports abolishing Trump's ICE while backing reforms such as banning agents from wearing face coverings, requiring visible identification, and installing an inspector general within the agency to ensure compliances with laws and regulations. Kelly said they needed to dismantle ICE and build an agency that people can trust as part of a larger overhaul of the nation's immigration system. "The Department of Homeland Security is too big, too unwieldy, and not accountable, and we need to do all this in the guise of immigration reform," Kelly said. "It can't be one thing or another." Pressure on ICE and U.S. Customs and Border Patrol has intensified in recent weeks as the agencies carry out an aggressive enforcement campaign in Minnesota, which has led to violent confrontations between agents and protesters. Earlier this month, it turned deadly after an ICE agent shot 37-year-old American citizen Renee Good at close range while she apparently attempted to flee a traffic stop. Over the weekend, a Border Patrol agent fatally shot 37-year-old American citizen Alex Pretty. Senior Trump administration officials later labeled both as domestic terrorists, despite them having no criminal records. Video footage and witness accounts contradicted the government's initial version of events, prompting questions about the deadly use of force. The uproar has spilled over into Illinois' Democratic primary for Senate. Days after Good's killing, Kelly introduced articles of impeachment against Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. The measure has 140 co-sponsors, including Krishnamurthy and most of Illinois' Democratic congressional delegation. Immigration dominated the debate even before it began, with Krishnamurthy's campaign and allies of Stratton releasing ads hours before highlighting their candidates' positions on ICE. "Donald Trump has weaponized ICE against our cities and our people," Krishnamurthy said in a 30-second television ad. "Torn apart families, terrorized neighborhoods. We should abolish Trump's ICE. We can't have a government or ICE running out of control. It's morally wrong and it's unlawful." Illinois Future PAC, a group supporting Stratton, launched a targeted digital ad focusing on the immigration issue. "Juliana Stratton has made clear ICE must be abolished. Not reformed, not retrained, abolished," a narration reads. "Every candidate on the debate stage knows what ICE is doing to our state and our country. Juliana Stratton will do what it takes to stop it, and that's the difference." Trailing in fundraising and polling, Stratton further attempted to use immigration as a wedge against her opponents, particularly Krishnamurthy, accusing the Schomburg Democrat voting to thank ICE and for accepting funding from ICE contractors. She pointed to nearly $30,000 in campaign contributions Krishnamurthy received from Shyam Sankar, the chief technology officer of Palantir, which holds a $30 million contract with ICE to provide tools to track self-deportation, the Sun-Times reported last month. The contributions made over several years represent a minuscule fraction of the millions Krishnamurthy's raised over the past decade. And after the news report came out, his campaign said it donated the sum of Sankar's contributions to unnamed immigrant rights groups. Stratton also criticized Krishnamurthy for joining Republicans and 74 Democrats last year in voting for a resolution that in part expressed gratitude to ICE officers, arguing that it is not the example of somebody who is going to stand up to Donald Trump. The language was attached to a larger resolution condemning anti-Semitism following a 2025 terrorist attack that killed a dozen people at a rally for Israeli hostages in Colorado. Krishnamurthy defended the vote, saying he's going to condemn anti-Semitism 8 days out of the week and that it was important to signal support to the Jewish community. Recognizing himself as the only immigrant on this stage, Krishnamurthy, born in India, defended his oversight record, arguing he was the only candidate on the stage that actually inspected an ICE facility itself. "We can either roll over or we can fight," Krishnamurthy said. "And I say we have to fight. We have to fight in the courts, we have to fight in the press. We have to fight in the court of public opinion, in the halls of Congress, and yes, the United States Senate," he said. "But we should never, ever, ever surrender our values." Stratton also criticized Krishnamurthy and Kelly for accepting donations from corporate political action committees. They pushed back, accusing Stratton, who has pledged not to accept corporate PAC money, of hypocrisy, noting that the Illinois Future PAC has yet to disclose its donors despite running ads in support of her candidacy. Kelly acknowledged accepting contributions from corporate PACs, but said she votes like the people who put me in office want me to vote. "And the corporate PAC money I take? You see who I take corporate PAC money from, unlike the commercial that the lieutenant governor has that is paid for by dark money, and we don't know who's behind those commercials," Kelly said. Stratton said she would not support keeping Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer in charge of the upper chamber's Democrats. Kelly and Krishnamurthy said they would hear him and any other possible candidates out. Kelly, Krishnamurthy, and Stratton will debate again on Thursday on ABC 7 Chicago. Early voting begins February 5th, and the primary election is March 17th. The seven other Democratic candidates running for Senate include Steve Botsford, Sean Brown, Oisi Bustos, Jonathan Dean, Brian Maxwell, Kevin Ryan, and Christopher Swan. There are six Republicans running for the office: Carrie Caparelli, Casey Chebleck, Jeannie Evans, Pamela Denise Long, Jimmy Lee Tillman II, and Don Tracy. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It's funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. Now from the Associated Press in Minneapolis, Mike Catalini and Steve Karnowski. Immigration. Judge orders ICE chief to court. Judiciary notes that lesser measures have been tried and failed. The chief federal judge in Minnesota says the Trump administration failed to comply with orders to hold hearings for detained immigrants and ordered the head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement to appear before him Friday to explain why he should not be held in contempt. In an order dated Monday, Chief Judge Patrick J. Schiltz said Todd Lyons, the acting director of ICE, must appear personally in court. Schiltz took the administration to task over its handling of bond hearings for immigrants it has detained. "This court has been extremely patient with respondents, even though respondents decided to send thousands of agents to Minnesota to detain aliens without making any provision for dealing with the hundreds of habeas petitions and other lawsuits that were sure to result," the judge wrote. The order comes a day after President Donald Trump ordered border czar Tom Holman to take over his administration's immigration crackdown in Minnesota, following the second killing this month of a person at the hands of an immigration law enforcement officer. Trump said in an interview broadcast Tuesday that he had great calls with Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey on Monday, mirroring comments he made immediately after the calls. The White House tried to blame Democratic leaders for the protests of several federal officers conducting immigration raids. But after the killing of Alex Preti on Saturday and videos suggesting he was not an active threat, the administration tapped Holman to take charge of the Minnesota operation from Border Patrol Commander Gregory Bovino. Schultz's order also follows a federal court hearing Monday on a request by the state and the mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul for a judge to order a halt to the immigration law enforcement surge. The judge said she would prioritize the ruling but did not give a timeline for a decision. Schultz wrote that he recognizes ordering the head of a federal agency to appear personally is extraordinary, but the extent of ICE's violation of court orders is likewise extraordinary, and lesser measures have been tried and failed, he said. Respondents have continually assured the court that they recognize their obligation to comply with court orders, and that they have taken steps to ensure that those orders will be honored going forward, he wrote. Unfortunately, though, the violations continue. The Associated Press left messages Tuesday with ICE and a DHS spokesperson seeking a response. The order lists the petitioner by first name and last initials, Juan T.R. It says the court granted a petition on January 14th to provide him with a bond hearing within 7 days. On January 23rd, his lawyers told the court the petitioner was still detained. Court documents show the petitioner is a citizen of Ecuador who came to the United States in about 1999. The order says Schultz will cancel Lyon's appearance if the petitioner is released from custody. Asked on MS Now's Morning Joe Tuesday if Trump's more conciliatory posture led to more federal cooperation with state and local officials in Minneapolis, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison said, "Not that I've seen so far. You should understand Minnesota is abiding by the law as written. We, under the 10th Amendment, the federal government, doesn't have the authority to convert us into its deputies," Ellison said. "And what the federal government has done is said, well, if you don't do it our way, we're going to saturate your state with 4,000 ICE agents until you cry uncle and obey. And that's unconstitutional and illegal." It's a good thing Trump talked with Minnesota's governor and Minneapolis mayor, Ellison said, but we need to see some results. They've got to show, not just say. Our What's Happening column. Rock band Winger added to Devon lineup. The hard rock band Winger has been added to the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater list of summer acts. The popular 1990s band will be on the Nelson Park stage August 27th. Special guests will be Johnny Vodka. Tickets, ranging from $39 to $69, will go on sale at 10 a.m. Thursday, January 29th at devonamphitheater.com. This show will be included in the 2026 Devon season ticket package. Winger became popular in the early 90s with hits such as 17, Headed for a Heartbreak, and Miles Away. For more information on the latest list of Devon Amphitheater shows, visit the venue's website on Facebook or Facebook page. Holiday cards sought for seniors. Decatur. Central Illinois lawmakers are seeking help from the public to make Valentine's Day a little brighter for seniors in nursing and assisted living facilities. The initiative encourages individuals, families, classrooms, churches, and community groups to create Valentine's Day cards that will be delivered to local seniors. Although it may seem small, making and delivering Valentine's Day cards to our seniors is a great way to remind them that they are valued in the community, State Representative Reagan Deering said. State Senators Doris Turner and Sally Turner, as well as State Representative Bill Hodder, are collecting cards. Deering's office is collecting cards through Monday, February 9th. Cards may be dropped off or mailed to 419 East Ash Avenue, Decatur, Illinois. Doris Turner said cards can be mailed or delivered through February 11th to her Capitol office at 401 South Spring Street, Section F, Office B, or Turner's Decatur office at 1210 South Jasper Street. Sally Turner and Hodder said Valentine's can be dropped off or mailed to the Lincoln District office, 120 South McLean Street, Suite E, Lincoln, Illinois, 62556, between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Valentine's should be in the offices no later than February 6th. Participants are asked to include their names and phone numbers with the Valentine's. Dems to host coffee with candidates, Decatur. The Macon County Democrats are hosting a coffee with the candidates on Saturday, January 31st. Stop by Democratic headquarters, 152 South Church Street, Decatur, anytime between 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. for free coffee and a donut, and an opportunity to meet candidates running for state and local offices in the March 17 primary election. For more information on candidates and other information about the county party, visit MaconCountyDemocrats.com. Registrations open for Lessons for Living from Urbana. University of Illinois Extension is offering Lessons for Living, a free online educational services series designed to provide practical guidance for healthy, fulfilling living across all ages. The series consists of one-hour sessions covering topics such as nutrition, financial literacy, personal health, and everyday wellness. Upcoming sessions include What's in My Food? Decoding Chemicals and Safety. Learn how to understand food labels and make informed choices. February 10th at 10 a.m. or August 11th at 2 p.m. Gardening on a budget. Learn how to start a container garden that supports health and affordability. April 14th at 10 a.m. or September 10th at 10 a.m. Fur Real Companionship. Explore the benefits of companionship, including alternatives to pet ownership. May 14th at 10 a.m. or October 13th at 2 p.m. Become a dementia friend. Learn ways to support individuals living with dementia, June 9th at 2 p.m. or November 12th at 10 a.m. Participation is free, but registration is required at go.illinois.edu/2026HCE Lessons. Page A5, our life page, is a guide to the 68th Annual Grammy Awards with predictions. The Grammy Awards airs Sunday on CBS, and Trevor Noah is the host. Now, part one from our opinion page. Our topic today is Greenland Gambit. First column by Peter Jewell. No good reason to seek ownership of Icy Island. President Donald Trump's fixation with seizing Greenland is madness. It's a preoccupation that's untethered from reality and lacks a rational justification. Indeed, none of the shifting reasons offered by the Trump administration make sense, particularly the supposed national security grounds for annexation. The United States would not gain anything from such a move. The U.S. military already possesses extensive access to Greenland, thanks to a 1951 agreement between Washington and Copenhagen. The U.S. Space Force maintains a base at Pituffik in the territory's far north that helps monitor for ballistic missile attacks. Moreover, America is already committed to defending Greenland against aggression via Article 5 of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Per that provision, invoked only once in response to the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack on the United States, an armed attack on Greenland, an autonomous and self-governing territory under Danish sovereignty, would be considered an attack on the U.S. itself. What's more, the Danish government has been clear it is willing to discuss even deeper security cooperation with the U.S. in Greenland. So the U.S. has no security reason for annexing or otherwise assuming direct control over Greenland. Even if China and Russia could somehow mount a military expedition to Greenland, and they can't, they could not take over the island without triggering Article 5 of the NATO treaty and provoking an American-led military response. The mooted economic rationale for acquiring Greenland just makes just as little sense. Greenland possesses significant reserves of rare earth elements and other critical minerals, but it's nowhere near the motherlode the Trump administration claims. Indeed, the island's rare earth reserves rank just below those of the U.S. If American mining companies aren't operating in Greenland, it's because of a lack of interest, not a lack of access. It's almost certainly cost prohibitive to mine these minerals given the ice sheet that covers the island, the remoteness of the deposits, and the near absence of necessary mining infrastructure. Mining companies have easier prospects elsewhere. Concern about possible Chinese attempts to corner the market for these resources does not justify an American attempt to seize Greenland. Such worries ought to motivate the U.S. to work more closely with Greenland's democratic government, Denmark, NATO, and the European Union to bar Chinese investment in Greenland's critical minerals and infrastructure. More important, Western countries should invest more in Greenland. The U.S. shouldn't destroy these relationships in pursuit of presidential fantasies of territorial expansion. So why does Trump appear dead set on annexing Greenland? Trump's ego and personal vanity appear to be a major factor. The president told New York Times reporters that ownership of Greenland is what he feels is psychologically needed for success. Annexing Greenland, in other words, will make Trump feel like a big man, especially since he was denied the Nobel Peace Prize he thinks is his due. He also seems to find Greenland a tempting target because it looks massive on Mercator map projections that exaggerate the size of land masses near the poles. Trump's drive to take Greenland any way he can is a logical outgrowth of his gangster-style approach to the world. His apparent desire is to carve up the globe with his idol Russian leader Vladimir Putin and Chinese dictator Xi Jinping, echoing Putin's nauseating pre-war assertions that Ukraine should bear with the Kremlin's brutal impending invasion, whether you like it or don't like it. Trump has vowed to do something on Greenland, whether they like it or not. Congress can stop this insanity before it proceeds any further, but only if it grows the backbone needed to act. Now from our food page, here's a way to cut down on saturated fat, salt, and sugar. We have a recipe for a healthy apple crisp. Healthy adults should limit themselves to about 1 teaspoon of salt a day, according to the Mayo Clinic, and keep their intake of saturated fats to 13 grams per day. Here's an easy, old-fashioned apple dessert the next time you get the urge for something sweet. Rolled oats provide fiber and crunch, while the apple comes packed with vitamin C, antioxidants, and minimal fat. 2. Eat more servings of vegetables. Crunchy kale salad. According to U.S. guidelines, adults should aim for at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables each day. Tossed in a zesty cilantro-lime dressing, this kale salad lives up to its name with an abundance of crunchy vegetables that taste great, don't cost a fortune, and are easy to find in any grocery store. 3. Eat more plant-based protein. Caramelized tofu lettuce wraps. Derived from non-animal sources, plant-based proteins include legumes, nuts, seeds, whole grains like quinoa and oats, and soy products like tofu and tempeh. If you crumble a block of tofu into pea-sized pieces, fry them until they're golden, and then toss them into a sauce, it's a fine substitute for ground beef or chicken in a lettuce wrap. That's especially the case if you add a sprinkle of chopped peanuts on top for a lovely nutty crunch. 4. Eat more dietary fiber. Chickpea masala. Fiber-rich foods include fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. They're often low in fat and fill you up, as many high-fiber foods are starchy. You won't miss the chicken in this creamy vegetarian dish featuring a spiced sauce made with tomato paste, chili, and ginger. The main ingredient, chickpeas, is a nutritional powerhouse that provides protein along with both soluble and insoluble fibers, making a serving or two excellent for gut health. I serve this dish with steamed rice and warm naan. If you like less spice, substitute a jalapeno for the serrano chili. And finally, number 5, maintain healthy hydration. Orange cucumber salad with honey lime dressing. For ingredients and cooking instructions for the complete recipes, please see the in-print version of the Decatur Herald and Review for Wednesday, January 28th, page B5. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Wednesday, January 28th. Please stay tuned.